This is Honest Reporting with Simon Plosker, keeping an eye on media bias and fake news.
Actually, it's not Simon Plosker, it's Daniel Pomerantz. Hi, Daniel, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well, thank you. All right, what are we talking about today? We're talking about the New York Times World.
We are. It's been a busy week in Israel. You know, the Knesset, the parliament, wrap up its session, so it's been passing a lot of laws. And the New York Times had this tweet where they really misstated a lot of what's going on here, apparently in the interests of drama. The tweet reads, on Monday, Israel's parliament blocked critical groups from speaking in schools. On Tuesday, it cut off Palestinian access to the Supreme Court in land disputes. On Wednesday, it barred gay couples from having children through surrogates. Now, I want to address these one at a time because I actually was on I-24 News out here, which shoots in Israel and in New York, and I spoke about two of these topics. One was Israel's parliament blocks critical groups from speaking in schools. Well, there's a law that says that certain groups that disparage the IDF will not be invited to speak in public schools, and it specifically was created because of a group called Breaking the Silence. Are you and your listeners familiar with them?
Sure, absolutely. They are an anti-conscription organization, and they're actually an anti-Israel organization, aren't they?
Well, close. So there's some dispute on what they really are. They consider themselves a watchdog group that exposes when IDF soldiers commit some abuse, like harming somebody inappropriately or doing something to Palestinians that they shouldn't be doing. And in any democracy, a legitimate watchdog group is a very important factor. You should have watchdogs on the army, on the government, on the police, and like us, you know, we're a watchdog group on the media. But the problem is Breaking the Silence. First of all, they get 65% of their funding from foreign governments, not just from foreign donors, from foreign governments. And then the second problem is that they actually get bonuses for bringing additional cases against soldiers. Almost all of their testimonies are anonymous, even though when they come out, there are frequently soldiers from the same unit who were at those events who come out and speak openly and say, your anonymous testimonies are incorrect, I was there and I know. And finally, just last November, their spokesperson, Dean Iskaroff, was caught lying in court on the witness stand in an attempt to put IDF soldiers in prison. That's a pretty severe kind of activity. And if you can just imagine in America or South Africa or really anywhere in the world, if a foreign government paid people to lie for money in order to put soldiers in prison, it would be a major diplomatic incident. And it did cause some issues between Israel and Germany a number of months ago because Germany was involved in funding that activity. And so I was asked on the show when I was speaking about this, well, doesn't this interfere with the freedom of speech? And I explained because, you know, in my previous life before being a media monitor, I worked as a lawyer for many years. And so when you learn about freedom of speech, you learn there's a difference between free speech, which is the right and the freedom to say what you want and express your opinions, versus obligating someone else to give you a platform. Forcing someone else to give you a platform is not your free speech. It's forcing other people to do things. And there was actually a case, and this isn't just in Israel, but all around the world. The United States Supreme Court, for example, had a case in 1987 in which creationists, which is to say people who want to say that Darwin was wrong and evolution doesn't exist and the earth is only 5,000 years old, they wanted to go into public schools and speak. And in this case, it was called Edwards versus Aguilar. The Supreme Court ruled that creationists can say whatever they want, but they cannot force public schools to give them their students as a platform. And so Israel made a decision that certain groups that take strong positions or even degrading and humiliating positions against the IDF won't be allowed access to public schools. Personally, I think it's too bad that Breaking the Silence took things in this direction, because being a legitimate watchdog on an army is an important task, but when you do it incorrectly, it gives a bad name to all watchdog groups, and and also puts Israeli soldiers in real legal danger, even when many of them may be trying to do the right thing and are being falsely accused. So that was the first part of that New York Times tweet, which was related to a New York Times article. I was just completely mischaracterizing the situation.
Daniel, before we move on to the second point, are there other watchdog organizations that watch militaries around the world?
Organizations all over the world. Some have high credibility, yeah. Some don't. Some have high credibility in some situations and don't have high credibility in others. For example, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch are an example of a couple of organizations that actually do very good work in a lot of places around the world, but have a particularly strong bias when it comes to Israel, and we critique them often because while they may be watchdogs, we are often watchdogs of the watchdogs, at least when it relates to media.
Right. Okay, let's quickly move on because we've only got 5 more minutes. So going back to this New York Times world, you know what, I'm actually not even going to ask you to defend all of these. What happened subsequently? Did they withdraw the tweet? Did they delete the tweet? Have people taken them to task? Has Honest Reporting taken them to task for this tweet?
Well, the tweet has only just come out right now, but one of our colleagues, Lahav Harkov, at the Jerusalem Post, began taking the New York Times to task. And if it becomes necessary, we may jump in as well. So, yeah, it is indeed problematic. You know, the second issue is they said that Israel had cut off access to the Supreme Court to Palestinians, which just simply wasn't true. Israel simply said that certain cases in the past went directly to the Supreme Court without going to the lower court first. And Israel said that just like any normal case, Palestinian land dispute cases have to go to the lower court, but they still absolutely have the right to appeal to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court absolutely has the power to accept that appeal. So the access to the Supreme Court has actually not been changed. It just requires going to the lower court first and then appealing. So that was something that the New York Times just, it wasn't even missing context, you just got the fact wrong. And then finally, there's the issue of single men and homosexual couples engaging in surrogacy to build a family. That one, I have to admit, the New York Times actually did not get wrong. Israel did pass a law that excludes those groups from doing that, and it's a hot source of contention in Israel, and I think it's important for viewers to know that here in this country, we Israelis don't always agree on everything, and right now there's a lot of argument about whether it's the right thing or the moral thing to do, and it's an argument that'll continue, and that's just the nature of being in a democracy with freedom of speech and different opinions.
I know. How is that for you?
Well, it's always exciting, you know. As Honest Reporting, we always have to ask ourselves whether we're going to jump on a certain topic, because if there's legitimate dispute, we don't want to take a position. But we do want to inform our followers and readers around the world of what's going on here. And sometimes we take a position when it means defending Israel against media bias. But sometimes when it's there's a legitimate dispute going on, we just try and do our best to explain what the issues are and let people take a look at what's going on in Israel and maybe just feel a sense of the debates we're having, and maybe even come to your own ideas and opinions about how you think things should play out in Israel. That's the nature of democracy, and we hope that Jews and Israel supporters around the world feel encouraged and free to engage in these issues and think about them and debate about them in your homes and in your communities too.
Thank you so much. Daniel Pomerantz, thank you for your time, and we look forward to speaking to you next week. God bless. Bye-bye.